true that this was water baptism on the day of Pentecost. If not, and God's a liar, everything else is all messed up. So let me go. No. Let's go to the Gentile mission. God saw with his way decided to call the Gentiles into this way. In Acts 10, verses 34. Listen to Peter as he began to talk in Acts 34. Acts 10, verses 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth them and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Well, here's a statement. Hold it, Peter. I don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. I don't do a thing. Respond. The Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, you have to fear God and work righteousness. You have to respect him. Respect. Now, that's the word of God.
That's
what it says. You can probably what you want to. I don't know what to call it. I mean, the Bible is God's revelation to the self to man.
Amen.
I tell you what, I don't know why we use it.
That's right.
Why do we use it? Not only that, we copy it behind. If it's not the word of God, why make another one?
That's right.
Oh, let you know. Why make another one if it's not the word of God? Why don't you just forget it? I've heard the word of God was something else. There it was in the book. If the word of God is not behind these burdens, if the word of God is not behind those things, then what is it? What is it? If it's not the word of God.
Right.
If it's not the word of God, why do you want to copy what's in
the
Bible?
Amen.
Question. Did Cornelius fear God? No. The question is, what is righteousness? This is what we're supposed to fear God with righteousness. Psalm 119, division of verse 172 says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness."
Amen.
Question, did Cornelius fear God? Answer, yes. Acts 10 and 2. He was a devout man, one that feared God all his house. We came right on to the floor, so he feared God. And he said he prayed always. Was that working righteousness? No. Question, did he work righteousness? Yes. When? When he obeyed the commandments of God. What was the commandment? Said man to Joshua. Send me to Joppa and he told you what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Then he obeyed. He was working righteous because at 10 of the verse 8 said he sent me to Joppa.
Amen.
I move on, honey, God. I've got a few more minutes. The right of the scripture and build and baptism is presented to the water. In Acts 10 verses 42. The Holy Spirit continues. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, Peter said, and to testify that he was ordained of God to be the judge of quick or the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Or forgiveness. Note. Then all I have to do is believe and receive remission of sin. Respond. When you believe in Jesus, you will be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Statement. Oh no. That's the carnal argument. All I have to do is sit right at my feet and get forgiveness of my sin. Acts 10 verses 44 to 48. The Holy Spirit continues to speak through Peter. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all that which heard the word. Okay? Now, don't take up my other time. Let me finish. And then the circumcision, which believed were astonished, and then it came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Verse 46 of Acts 10. For they heard him speak with tongues. We talked about what the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for. We got that now. Okay, let's move on forward. Verse 47, the Holy Spirit still speaks through Peter. Can any man forbid what? Water!
Amen.
That these should be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us.
Amen.
As well as we.
Amen.
And he commanded them, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And
that people did water.
Amen.
Question. The Holy Spirit commands water baptism. If the Holy Spirit commands water baptism for the Gentiles, and he did, what were the Jews baptized in on the day of Pentecost for the remission of sin? Water!
Right.
Scriptural truth! If the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, of God, commanded Gentiles to be baptized in water, then the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, would have to command the same thing for the Jews. Or he would be showing respect to person.
Amen.
In Acts 10, the verses 34 says, listen to the Holy Spirit, through Peter, of the truth I perceive, that God is no respecter of person. Numbers 23 in the verses 19, God is not a man that he should lie.
That's
right. Neither the son of man that he should repent.
Amen.
Who will you believe? And I got some more. But this proves conclusively that baptism is in water. You liar, you check it.
Amen.
You check it on and twist it if you can. You can't twist it.
Amen.
The Gentiles were baptized in water. And if they were baptized in water, then the Jews had to be baptized in the same thing. If not, then God was an special person, and the Scripture says God can't lie.
Amen.
Who do you believe?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God cannot lie. Or will you believe Henry C. Henry, Robert Harris, or Carol F. Grob, who can lie?
Amen.
I didn't say they're lying, I said he can lie.
Right.
God cannot lie.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
I'll tell you what. You can choose me this night whom you may believe. But for me and my house, we're going to obey the Spirit of God.
Amen.
All right.
Dr.
Rammer
here.
We'll go right back to just where he finished off. As I said to you in the first place, we do not dispute what's written in the book. Peter did command the Gentiles to be baptized down at Cornelius' house. You'll find that in the 10th chapter of Acts, around about the 45th verse. No contestation. He did that. But he did not get those folks in water. They were not baptized in water. Now you have to go on over to the 11th chapter to find that out. See, Peter, the apostles jumped on him by going to the Gentiles in the first place. You know, when he was up on the housetop at Joppa, he didn't want to go. So when he went back up to Jerusalem, he had to rehearse the whole matter to them as to what went on down there at Cornelius' house. Understand? And he comes right on down to the place where he commanded them to be baptized. And then, read what you have there in Acts 11, about 16.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles as on us at the beginning. Read.
Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Now let me paint you a picture, you see. Peter did command the Gentiles to be baptized. You understand? But the Holy Spirit brought back to his remembrance how that Joshua said that John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, and Peter drew back or repudiated his command.
Right.
Now these were some of the fire, or the Holy Spirit told those boys when they went out. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring back to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See? And Peter and some of the others forgot things that he had told them. And it had to be brought back to their remembrance. Let me give you one notable example. You see? Peter up on the day of Pentecost, now he's up there speaking. And look, the Holy Spirit in it too. You see? But he said to the Jews there that this promise, you see, this that you see here, was that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that he poured out his spirit on both the Jew and the Gentile, and upon the handmaids, you see. And he said to those Jews there that this promise is unto you and to them that are far off. Now those words Peter spoke right out of his own mouth, see, saying that the promise is to the Jews and to those that are far off, which meant the Gentiles.
Right.
Then 7 years later, when it comes time for him to go down to Cornelius' house to bring in the Gentiles, see, he's forgotten that he even said that. And he said, no, nothing unclean is ever in my mouth, and he didn't want to go down to bring the Gentiles.
Right.
You understand what I'm talking about? You see? Now, we're not after what Peter said. You see? You understand? But it's the Holy Spirit, you see, that we're after. See? Peter was wrong when he commanded them to do that. Now, see, you have to know something about Yahweh's purpose and order to come to that will of the liberation. Now, it's necessary for me to go back. I must make this point here too. See, I keep referring back to the scriptures like I'm supposed to.
Right.
See, I gave you the background for that.
Right.
You see? Now, somebody would say, see, it says over there, Paul writing unto Timothy, it says study. See? Now, you think that meant study the scriptures? Now, it doesn't mean that. Now, why doesn't it mean study the scriptures? See, Timothy had known the scriptures from his grandmother Lois's knee. He was taught the scriptures. You see, that wasn't what Paul was telling him to study. What he was telling him to study was to how to rightly divide the ages and dispensations. You know what I mean by that? Divide between the carnal, you see, those things that are added back there under Moses' dispensation, and the spiritual age. And that's what we're not doing, because we're mixing up one with the other. We said that we are in a spiritual age, understand? And then we're doing physical and natural things, such as dunking people in water. Physical water. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, if it's necessary for me, I told y'all I wanted to teach. I'm not trying to win on the main time. If it's necessary for me, then everybody, you see. Now, I'll go back here to this situation here, see, dealing with the purpose of Yahweh. He did have a typical people back here that he gave physical and carnal ordinances and laws and things of that sort. You understand? And so, folks, this is a revelation unto you. Now, they don't say this out there in the world, and you're not going to hear any places down here.
Right.
You see? This is a stupendous revelation, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why you should follow after those names. You see? The one that they call Yahshua, or the world called Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not, he was back here with the Moses and the children of Israel. And your Bible says so. Get for me the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant.
I wouldn't want you to be ignorant.
That all of our fathers were under the cloud.
Now he's talking about this situation back here with Moses and the children of Israel. Read.
And all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses.
And he said they were baptized. Now you said baptism wasn't back here. But Paul said they were baptized. You said you wanted to use what the book said. Paul said they were baptized. Unto Moses. In the cloud and in the sea. Read.
And did all eat the same spiritual food. And did all drink the same spiritual drink.
And they did all drink the same spiritual drink.
Read. For they drank of that rock that went with them. And that rock was Christ.
Christ was with them by there. And I mean in a physical body. See, if you use those correct names, you find that that name Joshua shouldn't have been rendered Joshua. It should have been rendered Yahshua. You understand? You see? Now, back in your King James Version, it tells you quite frequently about Moses said unto the Lord this, and the Lord spake this unto Moses. Now, look, folks, it's necessary, positively necessary for us to locate the Lord. You understand? And quit thinking that he's some will-o'-the-wisp, some hallucination, or something like that. You understand? Now the Lord that Moses spake with was a man in a fleshly body.
Right.
Not some that one that came through any loins of any physical woman.
Right.
You understand? Look, if the Creator could create the heavens and the earth, don't tell me that he couldn't make a body for himself to dwell in without it coming through some woman's loins.
Right.
He made Adam's body, didn't he?
Right.
You see? So he made himself a body. He walked around with the two individuals down in Egypt. See? And what was he doing back there? He was instituting or setting up heights and shadows. And I told you they stood for 1,500 years. See? Now the one that instituted or began or set up those heights and shadows, he had to come himself. This time he comes through the loins of the Virgin Mary.
Right.
Understand? To show you that he's a follower of both ways, without or with. Understand? Angels don't come through the loins of no woman. He come that other way before to prove that he's a follower of the angels. Then came through the loins of a woman to prove that he's a follower of all flesh. Understand? Now then, I said he comes later on, 1,500 years later. And I told you he said that he comes to fulfill. Is that right? You see? Now he knew before time that mankind wasn't going to believe him. You see, even though he spoke those words, and they said, we believe what's in the Bible, and he said, he's come to fulfill. And they're saying, Mama, you a liar, you come to institute. Christian water baptism. And you come to institute more supplements and the like. You see, they're disputing with the Savior and calling him a liar to his face. And don't realize it. Now, this is what he said to them, knowing that they weren't going to believe him. It's Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, ye among the nations, wonder marvelously and perish. I work a work in your day. Yes, see, which was the fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy. That you will not believe, even though a man telling unto you. See? So even though he come in and said he come in to fulfill, see, they don't believe it. You see? And that's when they get hooked up. You see, with such things that they're doing now.
Right.
See? Now then, see, that was given unto all those carnal ordinances, folks, was given unto the Jewish nation and the Jewish nation only. No Gentiles involved at all. If there wasn't no Gentiles baptized in the Red Sea, then John couldn't baptize any Gentiles.
Right.
You understand? Now, when that was finished, you see, all of that, see, then all of that was a dead work.
Right.
You understand? Even unto the Jews.
Right.
See? And Paul speaks about it in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, I use this term, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith for Yahweh, and of the doctrine of baptism, all modes of baptism, sprinkling, immersion, and what have you. See, baptism is a dead work. See? Now he wants us to go on unto perfection. What is the perfection? It's come to a spiritual, a knowledge of a spiritual baptism. You see, no, we don't know nothing about that. You see, because we are carnal, and all we can see is fleshly and natural things. You understand? Now then, see, when that baptism, sixth chapter of Romans, come. When Messiah was being baptized there, John, see, they were dead from the fall of Adam. You see? Now what do you do with anything dead? Get buried. So John's baptism was a burial. And they were being baptized into his death. And all of them had to be baptized before he died. Because after he died and raised from the grave, they couldn't be baptized into his death no more. You understand? And Paul speaks about that in the sixth chapter of Romans. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? Abound? You see? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us Jews, not Gentiles, as were baptized into Messiah, were baptized into his death? You see? So that like as we were baptized into his death, we'd be in the likeness of his resurrection. You understand? Now he says this, if we have been planted together with him. See, that burial of baptism was a planting too. You see? They were planted with him by baptism into his death, you see. Now then, see, all of those that accepted John's water baptism, you see, they were the ones that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Those that refused John's water baptism, you see, they were broken off. Now, Yahweh, speaking to the Jews, said this, 15th chapter of St. John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, you see, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. And every branch that bringeth forth not fruit, he taketh away, you see, and casteth it into the fire. Is that right? So those Jews that didn't receive John's water baptism of repentance, they were broken off. See? Now who was that for? So that the Gentiles might be grafted in, not planted by water baptism, but grafted in up among the branches. See, that tree is grown up now. And the gospel was only preached, you see, to the Jews only for 7 years after Pentecost, Acts 11:19. You understand? To the Jew only was the gospel preached. You understand? Now that tree is grown up, you see, and those Jews that didn't receive the Holy Spirit, they were broken off, you see. So they were the branches, you see. Now Paul is speaking about that over in the 11th chapter of Romans. Read that. Start at the 17th verse, or 16th verse.
And if some of the branches be broken off.
And if some of the branches be broken off, those Jews read.
And thou being a wild olive tree.
And thou, you Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, read.
We're grafted in among them.
We're grafted in among the branches, not planted by water baptism. You see, you know the difference between a plant and a graft. You see, a plant, you put the seed down in the ground. You're grafting, you see, you put it up, slice it into the tree. In the trunk or off in the branches. You understand what I mean? Everybody knows the difference between a planting and a graft. And thou being a wild olive tree, you Gentile, read.
Some being wild olive tree were grafted in among them.
Were grafted in among the branches, which was the dew, read.
And with them partakers of the root.
And with them you partake of the root.
And the fatness of the olive tree.
And the fatness of the olive tree.
Boast not against the branches.
Now don't you boast against the natural branches of the Jews.
But if thou boast.
Because if thou boast.
Thou bearest not the root.
Thou bearest not the root.
But the root thee.
But the root bears thee. Read on.
Thou wilt say then.
Now you will say then.
The branches were broken off.
Well, they were broken off.
That I might be grafted in.
You will say then that the Jews were broken off. That I might be grafted in. You see? Read.
Well. Because of unbelief.
Well, because of unbelief.
They were broken off.
They were broken off. You see? Read.
And thou standest by faith.
And thou standest by faith, not works.
Be not high-minded.
Don't you be high-minded.
But fear.
But fear.
For if Yahweh spared not the natural branches.
If he spared not the natural branches.
Take heed lest he also spare not
now the. Now he can also take you out, you see, and break you off. If you read on.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Yahweh.
Now look at the goodness and the severity of Yahweh. Read.
On them which fell severity.
On them that fell severity.
But toward thee goodness.
But toward thee goodness. Read.
If thou continue in his goodness.
That is, if you continue in his goodness.
Otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
Otherwise you Gentiles also shall be cut off. You see, now get to the 23rd verse there.
And they also.
And the Jews. And they also. Those that were broken off.
If they abide not still in unbelief.
If they abide not still in unbelief.
Shall be grafted in.
They shall be grafted in. It is that planet.
Yeah.
Now the Jews did have a physical water baptism before Pentecost. That was a planet.
Right.
You see? But after that was complete and done with, there was no more water baptism even for the Jews.
See?
And he's telling you there, he's that planet. He used planet over in the 6th chapter of Romans.
Right.
But over here in the 11th chapter of Romans, he said those Jews that were broken off because of disbelief, they would be grafted in.
That's right.
Along with grafted. You understand? Read.
Shall be grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
For Yahweh is able to graft them in again.
For Yahweh is able to graft them in again.
For if thou were cut out of the olive tree.
Now, if it was possible, if you be in a wild olive tree, to graft you in, then you know it how easy it would be to graft the natural branches back in. That's what he's finishing up here. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, let me go on back here to these incidences of what they call, what they think is water baptism,
right,
in this age.
Right.
Now, first thing, I've got to explain this. You see? They say, well, won't you go over to the New Testament? And you got a little file even in this Bible here, you understand? Where it says on the.
See, here it is right here. Where are you, there?
The New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You understand? Now that's not the New Testament, folks. See? They said they're not reading out the New Testament. Let me tell you, the New Testament, the real genuine New Testament, does not preach that you should practice water baptism in
right,
the real genuine.
Right.
Now, why do you say that's not the New Testament, Harry? You have to explain that, you see? Now, look, the word testament and covenant are one and the same thing. Now, Yahweh made a covenant with the Jews back here at Mount Sinai, is that right? Now, you spoke to the prophet Jeremiah and said this, behold, the days come, said Yahweh. Now, listen to him talking. You see, not Jeremiah. See? That I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenants I made when I took them out of hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with them after those days, after what days? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah. After those days, I will put my laws in their inward heart, and I will write it in their hearts. That's what he said he would do. Now you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John writing the New Testament. When Messiah or Yahweh said he would write it. You understand? Now you notice he said he's going to make a new one and it wouldn't be like the old one. This old one was written in tables of stone back here. You understand? It consisted of physical and natural things. Is that right? But the new one can't be like that. You see? So Paul, he's talking about that New Testament. He said it's not written in tables of stone,
right,
but it's written in the fleshly tables of a man's heart.
Right.
Not with pen and ink. I'm coming from the 3rd chapter of 2nd Corinthians.
Right.
Not with pen and ink.
Right.
You understand? With the finger of the living Elohim,
right,
in the fleshly tables of a man's heart.
Right.
You understand? See? Now, here's another thing about that covenant. See, this first one back here was given after that lamb was slain down in Egypt,
right,
and they were passed through the Red Sea, buried in the Red Sea. They come on out here into the wilderness of Sinai. Yahweh spoke from the mouth of that time to give them the old one. Is that right?
Right.
And that one back there had to be dedicated with blood, a bull and goat. Is that right?
Right.
Now, like the new one, had to be dedicated with the precious blood of Joshua the Messiah.
Right.
You see? So it took his death to usher in the New Testament. Understand? And you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you were talking about the days that he's in his flesh, is that right?
Right?
That's not the New Testament because look, he hadn't died yet.
Right.
You understand? And Paul thinks about that in Hebrews 9:16. He said, where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament, keep a time, folks, say it to Paul. The testament is of course after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. You see? So you didn't have no New Testament while Yahshua Messiah was walking around in the flesh. It took his death his burial and his resurrection, and 53 days from the time that he was crucified, the Holy Spirit was poured out there on the day of Pentecost. And he told his disciples, Acts 1:5, you see, that they were to tarry here in Jerusalem until they would be endowed of the Holy Spirit. Because John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And we can pinpoint how many days he missed. It was exactly 10 days from the time that he ascended out there on the Mount of Olives. You understand me? Exactly 10 days. You understand? And the Holy Spirit was poured out on them on the day of Pentecost. Now they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not in water. See? 3,000 were added unto the congregation at that time. Why 3,000? Why not 3,500? Why not 4,000? Why not 5,000? The reason for it was when he spoke this commandment from Mount Sinai back here. You understand? And they disobeyed that law back then, made the golden calf. Then Moses told the Levites, in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, you understand? Around about the 28th verse. Tell them to buckle each man your sword on your side and go throughout the camp and slay it. You see, everyone that had anything to do with the building of that golden calf. And the Levites went out that day and slew 3,000. Is that right? Now that event has got to be fulfilled. You see, it's got to happen again. So on the day of Pentecost, this time it's the sword of the Spirit. You understand? And the sword of the Spirit was slaying them called Almighty Jews up there in Jerusalem. And 3,000 of them, you see, were killed. You know what I mean by killed? You see, not killed like you say killed. You understand? But they were, see, they were killed out that called man. You understand? And made a new in Joshua Messiah. And Paul said this, if any man be in Joshua Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Physical water, baptism, and all such things. And behold, all things have become new. You understand? Now if you partake of any of those things that were back there under the law, calling yourself, worship it. What you are doing is denying that he come in. You see, and fulfill them things and move them out of the way. Paul also said this in Hebrews 10:9. The sacrifice and burnt offering thou wilt not, but a body hath not prepared for me. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me to do thy will, O Yahweh. And the will of the Father was this, as he expressed there in the 9th verse. He's taken away the first, with that old covenant, that he might establish the new covenant. You understand? And the new covenant is a spiritual covenant written in a man's heart. You understand? And that's what you read and find out what's going on in this age and dispensation. Get your head up out of that book. That book has caused more unbelievers and caused more division between those that would follow after Yahweh. A lot of people have been better off if you've never seen about it. You see? Much better off. Because you don't have the Spirit in you to interpret properly what's written in that Bible. I'm sorry for you. And it's made a lot of atheists out of some people. You understand? Because there's something in there that's ambiguous to it. For instance, over there in John, in Exodus 24:9-10, it says, then when Moses and Aaron, they down the bayou, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. That's what it says there. Then you turn over to John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. Now you know you can't believe both things. You can't go two ways at one time.
I don't have time to explain that.
We get we have 20 minutes left, and we're going to have 10 minutes apiece. So the next speaker will be O.J. White.
Thank you.
I feel so that I would expect the person shown the day of Pentecost. And I don't see how you could go back now. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, he tells them. The Jews that were with him recognize the fact that God has accepted them. You ought to go, that's a special subject within itself. Why the baptism of the Holy Spirit anyway? What was the purpose of it? It wasn't for the remission of sin. It was to let the Jews know that the Gentiles had been accepted by God. Because you remember Peter already said, I don't want to, no, not so long. He said, go. He didn't want to go. So eventually Peter left and went in the first one. He went on. He taught the Gentiles, and he baptized them once. Now tell me this. If the Spirit should be there, the Spirit is divided against itself. Now, Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he was, to teach the Gentiles. You tell me that the Holy Spirit didn't have sense enough to tell him not to use water?
It did.
The Holy Spirit didn't tell him. He used it. In other words, Peter's still making mistakes. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, he was already there. We can see him doing the same thing. In fact, Peter's been talking about baptism. He selected a man by the name of Philip. The man that you call a table waiter. A man that you call a table waiter. You know, let me go back to what I said. I'm jumping ahead of myself. You know, Jesus said something on one occasion. You've got to be careful. You find that we just might be guilty of this. Jesus cast out unclean spirits among the people. In John, in Mark 3, verse 22, and the scribe who came down to Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub. Now, I read the scripture. You see, and the thing about it, it's in context. You see, I can get a passage here and run from this passage to the other one. I'm reading you a contextual statement of Jesus casting out devils. The Pharisees, the scribes, been casting out these devils, casting out devils being doing it by the spirit of the devil. And Jesus had to point out something to these people. He said, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has never forgiven, but is in danger of eternal damnation. In other words, there's a danger, and he said this because they said he had an unclean spirit. There's a danger in ascribing something to the Holy Spirit that's not so.
That's right.
There's a danger. And you know what? The man will never get forgiveness of his sin as long as he reasons that the Holy Spirit teaches and doesn't teach the water baptism is essential.
Amen.
And Peter knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
He knew what he was doing. I believe Peter.
Amen.
He was guided by, I'm supposed to believe him because Jesus said, believe on his word.
Amen.
I believe Peter.
Amen.
Not only that, but we see a man by the name of Philip. A man that you call a table waiter. Before you call him a table waiter, you ought to back up and look at Philip a little bit.
Amen.
See what type of man he was. The man was selected to do a job, and the qualifications were given.
That's right.
He said, I'll be full of faith, of the Holy Ghost,
right.
And of wisdom.
That's
right. So he had the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he taught water baptism.
That's right.
In fact, he performed. Now,
yes.
I don't care how you run.
That's right.
It's still there in the book. It'll be there in the day of judgment.
That's right.
It'll be there in the day of judgment. It doesn't matter how much you raise your hand and talk about this is not true, it's not essential.
So
the Holy Spirit taught it.
Amen.
In Acts 8, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
Philip lay a eunuch sitting in the chair reading.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip,
yeah.
Go near and join thyself to his chariot.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip ran there.
Yeah.
And he said, he asked the question. Understand what thou reading. Verse 31. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip. He would come and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does him be baptized?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he commanded the chariot. Philip said, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confession, Matthew 10:32. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water.
Amen.
Physical water.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Right.
Well, don't run from when they jump in. You say right one breath, turn right back around and change it. Leave it like it is.
Amen.
And the man was running. He was led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He baptized men. What do you want? And they went away. And the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more, and you know what happened to the eunuch? The idiot, the stupid idiot, he went away rejoicing.
Amen. Amen.
Why did he go away rejoicing? His sins have been washed away. Like Peter told those people in the day of Pentecost to get rid of their sins. Paul did the same thing. Paul was baptized in water.
Amen.
There were things that was necessary for him to be an apostle. There were things necessary for him to get forgiveness of his sins. And water was one of them. Why perish thou, Ananias the Tolan? Arise to be baptized. Wash away thy sin. Wash him how?
In water.
You ought to go to Peter and look at that. I hope we get a chance to go back there again so we can, because this is one of the points. We still like to run from this idea that they're not saved in baptism.
Amen.
We need to know how you're saved in baptism.
Amen.
You've got to have faith first in the resurrected Jesus.
Amen.
The man preached unto him Jesus. And when you preach Jesus, you're going to have to preach water baptism.
Amen.
If not,
Philip didn't have the Holy Spirit. I don't care how you raise your hand and how you clap your hand, that's the truth.
Amen.
And it was buried in the faith of the church.
Amen.
Water baptism is essential for the remission of your sin. And don't let nobody, you shake your head later. That's true.
Amen.
You can't change that. You told me a few minutes ago, you set up a whole different story. How different is it?
Right.
You call this man a table waiter. He's not a table waiter.
Amen.
He was if he was a table waiter, he was motivated by the Holy Spirit. He was a good table waiter.
Amen.
And he told this man to be baptized in water. And you say that's right, then you turn right back around, you come back and go back here and count to them. There were 5,000 baptized on one occasion, too. There was one baptized. Why was that one baptized? You got another note there to compare with that? We run it from here to that. What purpose? We started on the word.
Amen.
Get the facts.
That's
the facts.
Rachel,
I don't like to keep pushing on this issue. I'm not going to go to the idea of Peter and the baptism now saving us. If I ever get a chance to come back again, I'll work on that one.
Right.
And prove me again that baptism does not save us. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but if the angel of a good conscience, you know what God is doing? Simple obedience.
Amen.
You know what? I test you. You test your child, don't you?
Yes.
You tell them what to do, babe. Not that you're trying to help. You want simple obedience.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
Works of what? Works of righteousness?
Amen.
Works of righteousness. All of God's commandments are right.
Amen.
If God wanted you to look simple, element of why? Let him use it.
Amen.
Naaman had to dip in the pool of Jordan to get rid of his leprosy.
Amen.
Why did God use water? I don't know.
Amen. That's right.
Why did he use the river Jordan? I don't know. Don't get it. God said, do it.
That's right.
And you know what? It's not no big thing.
Right.
What's so big about being dipped in water for a minute
in your
sleep? Right. What are you talking about?
That's
if you tell us some big thing to do, it'd be different.
That's right.
Amen.
Why are you playing some music? When the Holy Spirit says, sing and make melody in your heart.
Amen.
That's another subject. But it's the
truth.
That's right about all of us if you're
right
about the book.
That's right.
And other things you do, you've got a heart of instrument here to worship God with.
Right.
If you've got it written in your heart, then why don't you sing and make melody in your heart?
Amen.
And not the blood cup either.
Amen.
I'm talking about the mind.
Yeah.
The heart of the spiritual man.
Amen.
Why not come up here? Why can't you sing and make melody like the apostle said to
him?
He said, sing and melody in your heart to the Lord.
That's right.
He didn't say sing and play. Why are you doing it?
That's right.
Oh, we know what I'm talking about. If we would be really innocent.
Next thing would be Dr. Robert Harris.
Now, Philip was a deal. You can find it in the sixth chapter of Acts, and he did have the Holy Spirit. But now, the apostles, you see, Messiah said to them before he went away, for them to tarry at the root. Now, these are the apostles. I mean, in the first chapter of Acts. He told them, he tarries at Jerusalem, and ye, you apostles, not the deacons, which God was, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost part of the earth. You understand? Now then, if you read in the eighth chapter of Acts, the very first verse, you see, after the Holy Spirit has been poured out, there come a persecution up in Jerusalem. And the book said that all of the Jews were scattered abroad except the apostles. Because he had told them to tarry right there. Now Philip was one of those that cut out from Jerusalem because of the persecution. Now you say in Matthew 28:19 that he gave them the great commission, go ye therefore into all the world, and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. You see, you call that the great commission. Now, you said they were supposed to do that, you see, in obedience to what he said. Now, I'm going to show you how Philip wasn't doing that, you see. He cut out of Jerusalem because of the persecution and went down through Samaria. And he preached the gospel there and tore the town upside down. See, there was great rejoicing in that city. Many miraculous works were accomplished. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit fell on none of them down in Samaria. Only they greatly rejoiced.
right here.
But what tells you he is there?
This is the 8th chapter, about the 16th verse.
It was falling upon
another. Pick up the little verse again.
14th verse. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Peter and John, now they are apostles. Read.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them.
There none of them have the Holy Spirit. And you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. That's in you. Understand? Now, Philip left there, where he caused all that rumpus down in Samaria. He said, we had a lot of good preachers, you understand? Called a whole lot of people to shout. Yeah. But the point is, what's going on? Is anybody seeing anything? Now, Philip left out of Samaria and went down through the desert toward Gaza.
Right.
And that's where he ran into the Ethiopian eunuch.
Right.
The eunuch, you see. And the eunuch, he had been up there at Jerusalem. And he was returning from Jerusalem. Now, he was reading the book of Isaiah.
Right.
You see where he said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and so forth and so on. And he asked, Philip said, now whom is he talking about here? You see? And he asked him, don't you understand that? I don't understand that some man teach me. So Peter, or Philip, went in to explain to him about that scripture and to show of Yahweh and his purpose. Now, as he come down and explained it to it, so he had to come by the water baptism of repentance of John. He had to mention that.
Right.
You see? And that's where the Ethiopian eunuch, when he comes to that part, you see, he said, well, here is water. Now, this is the Ethiopian eunuch saying this. Now, what does hinder me from being baptized? Now, Philip said, if thou wilt, you see, then okay, I'll go get baptized. And he baptized him in physical, natural water. We have told you, we said before, we don't disagree with the word that's written in that book. But see, Philip, you see, he wasn't up there when the Messiah had said to those apostles up there to tarry in Jerusalem. But John indeed baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many things. And Philip wasn't there. And Philip was not to be one of those that would be witness of him. You understand? So you have to excuse Philip, you understand, in reference to his ignorance. He just did not know, you see, the reality of the thing. We're still speaking about the truth of the Holy Spirit. Now that Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But he didn't more have the Holy Spirit than the people down there at Samaria.
Right.
A whole lot of them between rejoicing and having the Holy Spirit. You get the point? Now let's play that situation next. Now I can tell you about another fellow too. 18th chapter of Acts. 24th verse. The apostle, a Jew of the city of Alexandria in Egypt. A man mighty in the scripture and eloquent. You see, he went up there to Ephesus. See? And he taught the people, see? And the book says that he knew nothing but the baptism of John. Read it.
Okay. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures.
Eloquent and mighty in the scriptures, read.
Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of Yahweh, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of Yahweh, knowing only the baptism of John.
Knowing only the baptism of John. He hadn't heard nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You understand? And he baptized some of those up there in Ephesus.
Yes.
Now when Paul went up through there, he asked them, said, well, look then, said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He said, we haven't even heard nothing from Jesus. They have the Holy Spirit. He said, well, what sin were you baptized unto? And he said, as they said unto John baptism, you see, water baptism. So that way, that's all the apostles could do. You see? Then Paul, see, he baptized them in the name. Now, you get that straight. Don't you tell me now that they got a second baptism in water. No, this was preaching unto them the gospel, you understand, according to the reality of Yahweh, you understand? And they receive the Holy Spirit. You understand? Now, there's see, now this Apollos, there were two people there in the congregation, a Paul, our congregation, a Aquila and Priscilla, what you call just the congregationally.
Yeah.
You see? Now, they heard Apollos, this mighty man, speak up there at Ephesus. And they didn't embarrass him by telling him he didn't know, you see? Before everybody. But after he got down, you see, and it was evident to them that he didn't know anything about the baptism of John, they pulled him off on the side. And the book says they expounded unto him the way of Yahweh more perfectly. In other words, they told him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You understand? See? Now, folks, look. Now, after all I've said, now listen to these words. You never will be saved without a physical water baptism. Now, somebody said, ooh, my goodness, look how that man twists up everything. He's been arguing all the time that you don't have to be water baptized. And now he says you can't be saved without a water baptism. You see? Well, this is what I mean by that. See, your water baptism is in Yahshua the Messiah. When he was baptized for the whole Adamic family. And they, when he was circumcised, he was circumcised for the whole family. See? When he died for the whole Adamic family. Paul speaks about that in the second chapter of Colossians. He says, and ye are complete in him. Complete. You don't have to do nothing yourself. You see? Which is the head of all principalities and power, you see? And you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Have you ever seen anybody circumcised without hands? You know what that means? But this one is done that way. Now, if you're going to be circumcised without hands, then you have to be also baptized without hands. Don't put your hands on a man and still baptize him by preaching the gospel to him. And as you preach, you are inundating, immersing him in the name of Yahweh, Yahshua the Messiah, as Yahweh Elohim.
Right.
You understand? See? And then the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something else about that. As long as we just dabble in those physical, natural things that are back there on the law, the Holy Spirit never can come in us. And it's never, it's necessary. Paul, speaking again in Colossians 1:27, he said, this is a great mystery. You see? But nevertheless, this is the way it is. He said, the mystery which has been hidden down through the ages and dispensations, Yahshua Messiah in you, the only hope of glory. Now look at the world out here talking about Jesus is coming. They say he's born in the cloud and went off. He's going to prepare a place for us. If you turn to me, he's coming back again. You understand? And John speaks in the fourth chapter of 1 John there. He said, now this is the way you can tell what a man has. Yahweh in him. You understand? See? That's by this, you see. Every man that confesses that Yahshua is coming in the flesh, he is of Yahweh. Not going to come, but already come. You got to have it in you. And every man that confesses not that he is coming to flesh, he is not of Yahweh. And this is that anti-Messiah.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight and participating. Those of you who are here for the first time, you need to be sure to enjoy yourself and come back and be with us again. We have class here on Wednesday and Friday evening from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every Sunday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We also hold Sunday school class every Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:45. At this time, if we stand, we'll be just like back here and here.
Your family is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his exceeding joy. To the only and wise Yahweh, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Let us all say.
Amen.
You got enough to go there to compare with that?
That's right.
We run it from here to there. What purpose? We're striving over the word. Amen. Get the facts.
That's
the fact. I don't like to keep pushing on this issue. I'm not going to go to the idea of Peter.